of anticipation have led to today. It's finally here, Election Day 2020. From the race for president down to the county board, WZND has you covered. Election night coverage starts now on 103.3 WZND, Bloomington Normal, Fused Radio.
You're listening to 103.3 WZND for live election coverage. Good evening, I'm Ritza Navar-Lopez.
And I'm Katrina Peterson.
And I'm Anna Marie Schutt.
It's now 8 p.m. and the polls have been closed for about an hour now as we wait for results of multiple races.
Tonight we will be having live call-ins, live interviews, and live results as they come in. Stick around and you'll hear from McLean County Clerk Kathy Michael, one of ISU's Students for Trump members, the College Democrats president, and hopefully hear some live reactions from students around campus.
WZND's Gavin Broderick is at the Republican Watch Party at the VFW. We will be checking in with him throughout the night, and we will also be watching, of course, the presidential race, the Illinois Senate, the 13th and 18th Congressional District, and the Illinois House of Representatives in the 105th and the 88th District race.
All that and more coming up, so stick around. You're listening to 103.3 WZND's Election Show.
Continuing coverage of the 2020 election by the WZND News Team continues now on 103.3 WZND Fused Radio.
Welcome back. You're listening to 103.3 WZND Live Election Show, or as we call it, the polling party. Here's some results. Currently, former VP and Democrat candidate Joe Biden has won the state of Illinois for the presidential race, according to AP. CNN also reports that Joe Biden is leading the states of Ohio and Pennsylvania. Donald Trump holds a slim lead in Florida. According to AP, longtime incumbent Democrat Dick Durbin has won re-election for the Senate. For the 13th Congressional District, CNN reports that Betsy Dirksen Londrigan is leading by 66% of the votes. For the 18th Congressional District, CNN reports that Darren LaHood is leading by 55% of the votes. For the Illinois 105th House District, Dan Brady is leading by 64.4% of the votes. For the Illinois 88th House District, Keith Sommer is leading by 48.7% of the votes. For the McLean County Coroner, Kathy Yoder is leading by 60.3% of the votes. For the McLean County Auditor, Republican Michelle Anderson is leading by 51.4% of the votes. Circuit Clerk race, Don Evanhart, Republican, will be retaining his seat as he ran unopposed. For the state's attorney race, Don Knapp will be retaining his seat. He ran unopposed as a Republican. For the McLean County Board, in District 2, the incumbent Republican William Friedrich, running for County Board District 2, is leading. And in District 3, George Wendt, incumbent Republican, is leading by 60%. For District 4, Alita Cruz, Republican, is leading by 52.4%. For District 5, John McIntyre, incumbent Republican, is leading. For District 7, Jacob Beard, Republican, is leading by 53% of the vote. For District 8, Leah Klein, Democrat candidate, is leading by 66% of the vote. For District 9, Susan is leading by 52.9% of the vote. And that does it for the results update. And we will have more for you after this.
It's election night coverage on 103.3 WZND Fused Radio.
Welcome back to 103.3 WZND. You're listening to the polling party for all your election updates for the rest of the night. As of now, you heard a little bit of a few updates, but that is not the final result. As of now, we do know that Senator Dick Durbin has been reported to have won his seat again as incumbent for the Illinois State Senate. He has been running for a few years, so it was no surprise there. AP reported that he was sticking with the seat. But other races, we still have lots of polling to come back in. As of now, we're only seeing a few precincts report from Bloomington, but it's still pretty early in the night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we definitely will not be able to see all of the states as far as presidential race goes because of the different time zones, but I think we'll definitely get some good updates from this side of the states throughout the night.
Yeah, and a close local election race that we did get some results for is the 13th Congressional District, and Betsy Dirksen-Londrigan is leading by 66% of the vote there. And then for the Illinois 105th House District, Dan Brady is leading by a pretty vast margin. Last time I checked, it was in the 30s for Democrat candidate Kimberly Cummings, mm-hmm. and he's leading by 64.4%. So, Anna Marie, you covered the race of the 105th District pretty extensively. Mm-hmm. Care to comment a little bit on that?
Yeah, so Kimberly knew going into the race that, you know, it was going to be a challenge going up against someone who's been in office for 20 years or more. But, you know, no results are final yet. I know Brady is pretty far ahead. I think this was still a really big chance for Kimberly to get her voice heard, different things she wants to happen in the community, and she is a council member, so she still has that to, you know, get her ideas across to the people in the community.
And we did have a reporter go out onto the quad just a few days ago. She was making a final push for ISU students to go to the polls. She marched on the quad, went mm-hmm. all the way to Rosa Parks and Waterston Towers to try to push and get that final college vote. She's also pursuing a master's degree, I believe.
Yeah.
And she goes to a university, not ISU, but she's a grad student, and she was a big voice for the grad students here. But it kind of is similar to the Dick Durbin race in that the incumbent, you know, it's no surprise.
Right, exactly. I don't think anyone is surprised by this. I always think it's great for someone to challenge whoever's been in office for so long because a lot has changed since, you know, they've been in office since, like, the early 2000s for Dan Brady's case. And eventually there probably will be a time for change and people might vote that way, you know.
Speaking about change, I mean, this election is completely different with the mail-in ballots. I know you had talked to Dan Brady about the mail-in ballots. There's this, you know, feeling about mail-in ballots. How did Dan Brady feel about mail-in ballots here in McLean County?
Mm-hmm. So he said he originally voted no when it was first in front of the legislature, but he did approve of it once he realized it was being controlled locally. He felt he could be more confident in it that way when it wasn't kind of out of people's hands here who he knows and respects. She was totally in support of mail-in voting. She voted by mail in college, and she talked about how people in jail can vote by mail, which I didn't know, and I think that's really interesting, and hopefully people know that they can do that.
Yeah, and you had mentioned college and the mail-in ballots, and that kind of, like, helped college students perhaps that were home or not here on campus who mm-hmm. wanted to vote in this election as well. There was a vote-in challenge for local colleges around here. It was called the All-In Vote Challenge. Do you want to talk a little bit about that, Anna Marie?
The All-In Vote Challenge, So getting people to register to vote here on campus between Illinois Wesleyan, Heartland, and ISU. And Illinois Wesleyan did end up winning that, but I think that was a great way to get students, you know, thinking about it, a little more motivated, and just to get it on their minds, even if they didn't help with the competition they registered. So now I think we have Maritza that's going to be ready for an interview
with Harriet Steinbeck, I believe, from The Engagement.
Absolutely. Welcome back. You're listening to the Z&D Live Election Show, as we call it, the live party, the polling party. And we actually have the pleasure of speaking to Harriet Steinbeck right now, the Assistant Director for the Center for Community Engagement and Service Learning at ISU, to discuss the importance of student voting. Hi, Harriet. How are you doing tonight?
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So I know you guys have had a few events earlier this month in October and earlier this week. So if we could just talk a little bit about what events you guys had to help prepare students, just a general overview of why you guys had them and what these events were for.
Yeah, we had events throughout the month of October to encourage students to go out and vote and to be informed voters when they go into the polling place. And so we hosted a virtual film screening. We hosted a, we had a Your Voice Matters event with some local elected officials and students from the Diversity Advocacy Organization. We partnered with the School of Communication on October 22nd to host a debate watch, a virtual debate watch. And some conversation with experts in the School of Comm, and some conversation after the debate. So those are just a few examples of different activities to engage students and help them be informed in the electoral process.
Absolutely, and that kind of brings me over to our next point as to why it's important for, you know, students to be educated voters.
Mm-hmm. Yes, so I think we really want students to begin to build that habit of voting and participating in this important democratic process. And so part of that is that informed piece, so that you feel comfortable and confident when you go into the polling place, that you know who you're going to vote for and that you've thought about all the things on the ballot and that you're ready to cast that ballot.
Absolutely. And just one last question is just asking if you guys had any events today. I know we talked a little bit about having some people at the Bone and people ready to answer any questions any other students might have if they're confused about where to go for the election. So can you talk a little bit about what you guys had tonight?
I'm here at the Republican Rap Party. Right now I'm looking at about...
Harriet?
We had volunteers, faculty, staff, and students that were in the Bone from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m., and our job was to help students make sure they were at the right polling place, and if they were registering today, because Illinois is a same-day voter registration state, which is awesome, we wanted to make sure students had the right documentation to register, so we were doing that all day. We also had... Student Government Association, Black Student Union, and the Voter Engagement Coalition all had different giveaways. And so students from Student Government were walking around campus, the Quad, the Bone, near Watterson, near Uptown, just passing out awesome Election Day goodies. And then we also had a photo booth up in the Student Involvement Center on the second floor of the Bone Student Center. So students could come up after they voted and commemorate their voting experience and sometimes their very first voting experience by having their picture taken at the photo booth with some of our fun Election Day props. All of those photos can be found on the Center for Community Engagement and Service Learning Facebook page if folks want to check that album out.
Absolutely. And you talked a little bit about how important it is for first-time voters, and absolutely, this is their first presidential election. Even myself, you know, I did vote in the midterm elections about 2 years ago, but these are times that we want to commemorate. You know, I still have my first sticker from when I first voted, so I definitely understand how important these things are and how important it is to commemorate them. But I just want to say thank you so much, Harriet, for coming and talking a little bit on the show about what you guys had going on at the Center for Community Engagement, and I really appreciate your time. Thank you so much, and I look forward to hearing from you again.
Everyone. Thanks, everyone at WZND. Have a great show tonight.
Absolutely. Have a good night.
Bye-bye.
And you guys just heard Harriet talk a little bit about the importance of first-time voters, and me and the girls will be talking a little bit more later on about how the pandemic looks different this year and how important it is for students to be educated when they cast their vote. But all of that is coming up soon. If you just stick around after this short break, you'll hear more about it.
We're going to switch gears now, and we're going to send it over to Gavin Broderick, who is currently at the VFW in Bloomington, the McLean County GOP headquarters, for the night. Gavin?
I'm here at the Republican Watch Party. Thank you so much, Kat. Right now I'm looking at about 20 to 30 people, and I'm here with Connie Beard. Just a few questions for you.
Okay.
So how many people are you expecting to be here tonight?
Oh, there's no way of really knowing for sure. We are knowing that it's still early in the evening. A lot of people are still getting off work, having dinner. We've had volunteers that have been working the polls. So we would not be expecting most of the people to be coming until maybe even an hour from now. So we'll see.
Who is expected to show up? Any candidates, maybe?
Well, we hope that some of our candidates, we have actually one of our county board candidates, Jordan Baker, is here right now. And some of the other candidates are having their own private kind of, you know, watch party to say thank you to the volunteers that work specifically for their campaigns. Tonight, we're looking at thanking the volunteers that have worked for the McLean County Party as a whole, which is who you see a fraction of here tonight. That these are people who've been walking the districts and manning the office and making phone calls and so forth. So the candidates often, many of them have separate times at locations where they are celebrating.
So what races are you paying attention to? You know, more the local elections, the state, national?
Well, we have a combination. I mean, obviously on the big screen, we have the national election. We do also have our volunteers who are manning the laptops and keeping an eye on election results as they're being posted locally. So we, as McLean County Chairman, my first dedication is to the local races. I mean, I am a firm Trump supporter, and we are very hopeful that he is going to pull this off. But I also am very much wanting to protect McLean County as a solid Republican county.
Okay. Well, Connie, thank you so much for your time. For WZND, I'm Gavin Broderick.
Thank you so much for that report, Gavin, and we will be checking in with Gavin throughout the night later on. And later on, we will actually also be hearing from Nikita Richards, who is a chairwoman for the McLean County Democrats, to find out what they have planned for the night. I know that right now Gavin is at the VFW talking with Connie Beard, which is a chairwoman, as you heard, for the McLean County Republican Party. But Anna Marie will be coming up with a new update from the newsroom.
Yeah. So I have the next update for you guys, starting with the big presidential race. CNN reports that Joe Biden is leading the states of Ohio and Pennsylvania. He also holds a slim lead in North Carolina. Donald Trump holds a slim lead in Florida and Georgia. For the Senate race, according to AP, longtime incumbent Democratic Dick Durbin has won re-election for the Senate. For the 13th Congressional District, CNN reports that Betsy Londrigan is leading by 65% of the votes. For the 18th Congressional District, CNN reports that Darren LaHood is leading by 56.9% of the votes. For the Illinois 105th House District, Dan Brady is leading by 64.4% of the votes. For the Illinois 88th House District, Keith Sommer is leading by 72.8% of the votes. For the McLean County Coroner, Kathy Yoder is leading by 60.3% of the votes. And for the McLean County Auditor, Michelle Anderson is leading by 51.4% of the votes. Don Everhart will be retaining his seat for the Circuit Clerk. He ran unopposed as a Republican. For the state's attorney, Don Knapp will be retaining his seat. He ran unopposed as a Republican. Moving on to the county board for McLean County, for District 1, candidate Catherine Metzger, running for McLean County Board District 1, is leading. For District 2, candidate William Friedrich, who is the incumbent Republican, is leading. For District 3, George Wendt, incumbent Republican, is leading by 60% of the votes. For District 4, Adelita Cruz is running for McLean County Board District 4 in lead with 52.4% of the votes. For the candidate for District 7, Jacob Beard, who is running as Republican, is winning with 53% of the votes. For District 8, Democratic Leah Klein is winning with in the lead with 66.8% of the votes. The District 9 candidate, Susan Schaefer, incumbent Republican, is leading with 52.9% of the votes, and the District 10 candidate running for McLean County Board is leading by 52.9%, and that is John Barnett. So that is all for our updates for this time. We will have a lot more coming up.
Absolutely. And like we said earlier, a lot of results are still coming, so things are still subject to change. There are some more precincts that we'll be reporting, so keep up with us for all the latest updates. And be sure to keep listening for more results nationally and locally here on 103.3 W.
2020 election coverage continues now on 103.3 WZND Fused Radio.
Welcome back to WZND's polling party. We talked to our county clerk, Kathy Michael, about voting, how it was different this year. Our reporter, Cameron Kelly, has that story.
Congressman Davis.
McLean County is communicating to other counties about ways to stay safe at the polls. All Illinois counties are outreaching and trying to get a high voter turnout. County Clerk Kathy Michael says that everyone who works elections care about the voting process, the representation of their counties, and the respect of the voters.
I know in our county, and I don't know that all counties are doing this, but we're sending a postcard, a confirmation postcard. Every time we get a ballot back, we let you know that we got your ballot. So if you don't get a postcard back, we are trying to get the word out, call us, let us know. We want to make sure it's not lost in the mail or something didn't happen.
There was a mailing mandate issued by the government due to COVID where everyone got an application, not a ballot sent to their homes. Normal had a huge response with 17,000 applications returned, and Bloomington had about the same. This is an abnormal year because previous years the application response was about 800.
But voting by mail, I think if everything runs smoothly in every county or nearly every county, you know, with no big problems, I think each year you're just going to, this is the way of the future. Early voting is actually as popular or more popular than voting by mail.
MIF Buster Michael says that it is illegal to count votes before 7 on election night. The county is able to process mail ballots to make the load lighter when counting them. Releasing results early could sway the election. Michael also says that she has been telling candidates to hold off on celebrations because there might be a delay in the final result.
When the results start going online and you can start seeing how the precincts are coming in, at the very end, when we think we're almost done, those are all still unofficial. And they're unofficial for at least 2 weeks because we have 2 weeks for ballots to come back to our office that can be counted as long as they are postmarked November 3rd.
It is possible that the county can get hundreds of ballots the day after the election. Election day is November 3rd, and Michael encourages everyone to vote early and emphasize that polling is happening in person. For all your election information, visit WZND.com. For WZND and Bird's Eye View, I'm Cameron Kelly.
So you just heard Cameron Kelly actually talk to Kathy Michael for a piece for Bird's Eye View. And last month, you can look at this entire piece, this entire show, podcast, on our website. But in this, we actually talked about a few races we might not be covering tonight, where we took a deep dive into a few county board races. We also spoke to the auditor and coroner candidates, as well as the 13th Congressional and 105th District. It was really interesting to get some insight from these people, and, you know, it was pretty good. But when we're thinking about how this pandemic has changed this election, you know, I think about how I voted in 2018 in the midterm elections at the Bone, and I had a maybe 4-hour wait with no space in between people. You know, I was next to people, you know, and we were in line for hours. And that has completely changed with this pandemic to where I went to vote early in like the first week of October at Grossinger's Motors Arena. And it was very similar in a sense of, you know, the same electronic equipment. But like I said, I was in and out within 5 minutes instead of my 4-hour wait back in 2018.
Mm-hmm. I actually decided to vote by mail, which I had never done before. And it was pretty easy. I voted in Kane County, where my family lives. And the only thing that made me nervous about it was knowing that my ballot was received and it was counted. So I did check online. It's really nice that they have that where you can make sure your ballot was received and everything is fine. We actually also have one of our producers of this show, Joey Dwyer, here to give us a little insight on how he voted.
Hi, guys. Sorry about that. I was just out of the office for a second, heard my name, so I sprinted back in here.
No problem. So how did you vote this year?
So the way I voted was definitely unique. As an ISU student, most of my friends who I know are voting here, but because I still have, you know, residents back home in Iowa, I decided to drive back and do early voting there. And I thought it was a very unique opportunity to be able to still go to the polls. Like, I didn't mail in. I actually went to my polling place, and I was able to early vote in person. And the wait time was incredibly short, maybe 2 minutes before I was able to get through and get my ballot. And so I thought it was a really nice way that the state was going about it, letting people get to the polls who didn't really want to vote by mail but still wanted to be safer about the whole situation.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And one of the things that I noticed with a lot within a lot of people who are younger in our age was that people who were voting by mail, a lot of people didn't know how to send it back in if they didn't have like a ballot drop box. And a lot of people were asking questions about how do I double check that my ballot got received. And one of the things Kathy Michael mentioned in her piece earlier was that in McLean County, they were sending a postmark to confirm that they had received your ballot. And if they didn't, you had to check in with them because, you know, maybe they hadn't received it. But she did say that they did postmark them, which I definitely think added some relief and some help to those of us, or not those of us, because I voted in early, but for those students and those individuals in the county who were maybe afraid that they didn't get their ballot, or maybe were confused about the entire process, because, you know, a lot of people haven't really sent mail out in a few years unless their parents used to send it out for them. So I definitely saw a lot of panic between a lot of young faces.
And I think that with all of this early voting, you've seen a lot of states handle it differently, and it's kind of shined a little bit of a spotlight on which states have a little more in the way of voter suppression, because you can see that in my district in Iowa, I went to the polls and I didn't have to wait at all to do my early voting. But you saw in places outside of Atlanta, per se, where folks were going to vote early and they would have to wait 11 hours to vote because there was only one polling place per that certain amount of people in the Atlanta suburbs. And so I think that's something very interesting that we've seen this election that maybe has made it a little more evident the kind of inequalities that go on around voting in this country.
Absolutely. And I think we have seen, you know, a lot of lines. If, I don't know if other people follow other journalists, but I have seen in Florida, there's people waiting in pouring downpour rain. And it's kind of crazy to think, you know, for us, it was just so easy to walk in and have our state, you know, be ready and have these, you know, early voting days for weeks before the election. And we were blessed definitely to have that opportunity because, like you said earlier, there was these lines that were crazy in other areas of the U.S. and especially Florida. I saw some long lines along Texas as well. And, you know, recently they had that case where people wanted to throw out, you know, hundreds of thousands of ballots because it was done through drive-through. So there's definitely, voter suppression is definitely real and definitely happening in some places. But I definitely believe that, you know, this county definitely set us up to have, you know, the easiest and most safest way to vote.
I could not agree more. I think the way that the county clerk expedited the process is just something that a lot of the counties across the country could really learn from, and I think it made the whole voting process very equitable.
Absolutely. I think I'm going to give another update with our results now. This just in from the newsroom. For the presidential race, CNN reports that Joe Biden seems to be pulling away in Pennsylvania while his lead is slipping in Ohio. Donald Trump has held on to his lead in both Florida and Michigan. For the Senate race, according to AP, longtime incumbent Democratic Dick Durbin has won re-election for the Senate. For the 13th Congressional District, CNN reports that Betsy Londrigan is leading by 54.5% of the votes. For the 18th Congressional District, CNN reports that Darren LaHood is leading by 61.2%. For the Illinois 105th District, Dan Brady is leading by 64.4% of the votes. For the Illinois 88th House District, Keith Sommer is leading by 73.55% of votes. For the McLean County Coroner, Kathy Yoder is leading by 55.4%. For the McLean County Auditor, Rob Fazzini is leading by 48.6% of the votes. For the circuit clerk, Don Everhart will be retaining his seat. He ran unopposed as a Republican. For the state's attorney race, Don Knapp will be retaining his seat as well. He ran unopposed as Republican. Taking a look once again at the county board race, the District 1 candidate, Catherine Metzger, unopposed, running from McLean County Board District as a Republican. For District 2, the candidate, William Friedrich, incumbent Republican, is leading by 58.4%. The District 3 candidate, George Wendt, running for McLean County Board District 3, is leading by 61.8%. Adelita Cruz, the candidate for District 4, is leading by 97.8%. For District 5, Rachel Lund, Democrat, is leading by 51.7%. For District 6, Hannah Beer, Democrat, is leading by 78.9%. For District 7, Jacob Beard, Republican, is leading by 55.9%. For District 8, Democrat Leah Klein is leading by 66.8%. And for District 9, Susan Schaefer, the incumbent Republican, is leading by 59.24%. For District 10, Josh Barnett is running unopposed and is the incumbent Republican.
Absolutely. And as mentioned earlier, these updates will keep coming in throughout the rest of the night. We are not done yet. A lot of these numbers can change. We're still looking at updates from McLean County and the Bloomington Election Commission Board, as well as multiple other counties and the state. So it's not over yet, but make sure you keep tuning in because we're going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. We'll have every live-to-the-minute update. You're listening to The Polling Party on 103.3 WZND.
All right, Jessica, this is how our WZND street team works. Walk out on campus and give out all of this free swag, information, and other free goodies. Remember, you can also find out where we're going next at WZND.com.
Okay, I've got it. I've done this a few times, remember? Now let's go!
Jessica, get out of the street!
But it's a street team!
Jessica, that doesn't mean you actually go into the street.
Look out for the WZND Street Team for free swag and info on all your favorite events.
When is the best time to talk to your family about staying in touch during a disaster? When floodwaters reach your door? When wildfires are engulfing the edge of your neighborhood? Or an earthquake is destroying buildings? Or is the best time perhaps today? During a disaster, you may not be able to stay in touch with your family or friends as easily as you think. Go to ready.gov/communicate and make your emergency plan today. Don't wait. Communicate. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Continuing coverage of the 2020 election by the WZND News Team continues now on 103.3 WZND Fuse Radio.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Polling Party on WZND. Earlier, we heard from Gavin at a Republican watch party. Next, we will be hearing from the Democratic McLean County chairwoman about what they're doing differently for their watch party this year.
Yeah, and I actually got to talk a little bit to Nikita Richards, who is the Democratic chairwoman, and she was talking to me a lot about what they were doing today and how they were kind of prepping for tonight. They're not holding a watch party, unlike the Republican Party and Libertarian Party. The Libertarian Party is at Crawford's Pub right now, but rather, they're putting those funds to local groups who are charity organizations, and they're putting those towards those groups instead of having a watch party. And then Kimberly Cummings, who is down right now in the 105th House District, will be hosting a Facebook Live watch party. Right now, she's hosting that. So, as far as,
I think that's a good idea to do, like, the Facebook Lives, virtual things, to really take advantage of that, because it really can save you a lot of money, and if you do still raise some, and you can put it towards different, maybe more important things, rather than just, you know, a party watching what everyone can see online or on TV. So that's really interesting, the different ways they're doing it. There's a lot of cool ways you can interact with people online, or if you are on, if they're on like a Facebook Live or something like that, you can like
write in comments and talk to who's live, ask questions, and just have that virtual discussion so you kind of get the feel of being at a party. I think that's a really smart idea.
Mm-hmm. And as far as the results, anything interesting that you read from the last news update?
Well, I was just thinking about the coroner. I know we talked about this in our Bird's Eye View show that kind of previewed some of these races. And coroner is kind of an interesting seat that, I don't know, maybe it doesn't need to be an elected position. So yes, it's kind of interesting watching that race play out and, like, thinking how political affiliations go into that type of job, you know?
Yeah, and Kathy Yoder actually answered one of our candidate questionnaires, and she had said, you know, this should be a nonpartisan position, and it should be really merited on your education background and your ability to do that. I know we spoke to Abby Sorrells, who will be the Democrat candidate for that race. I believe she is down. But she's a nursing background, and she has that nursing background, and she's coming in, and she had also said that it was supposed to, or it should be, a nonpartisan seat.
Mm-hmm.
Another race, the auditor.
Mm-hmm.
Michelle Anderson is the incumbent Republican. I believe she is ahead. What were the numbers on that?
For auditor, actually, Rob Fazzini is leading by 48.6% as of late.
48.6%, so. Yes. And I know Maritza went to, when he announced his campaign, I went to Tricia Millott, who was running for the Republican seat in the primaries, and she had announced her campaign. And now we're going to hear from an interview. Maritza?
Yeah, with me, I actually have Ethan Kosberg, I think is how you say it. He is the College Democrat president. Ethan, how are you doing tonight?
Not too bad, how are you?
I'm great. So let's just dive right in, and we're just going to talk about what you're expecting for this election.
I mean, I'm fingers crossed for a lot of Democrats winning, but I'm expecting it to be close. I'm not expecting it to be figured out any, like, within the next couple of days even. I am kind of worried about it dragging on a little bit, kind of lasting until, like, Friday or the weekend, but I'm sure that we'll have a result by the next week.
Yeah, absolutely. And we talked a little bit about it earlier on the show, but we expect these delayed results because of mail-in voting. So these will be coming in probably a few days. It kind of depends on which state and what we're looking at. But yes, so the next question I have for you is just, as the College Democrats at ISU, you know, why do you, as a president, think that it's important for college students to be educated when they're casting their vote? So not just casting it, but why is it important to be educated as a student when we're casting it?
I definitely think it's important to be educated because, like, these people are making very real decisions for a lot of people, and, like, we see those very real decisions have, like, very real consequences for a lot of people. And so when you're, like, casting a ballot for someone who, like, you don't know what their stance on healthcare is, or you don't know what their stance on, like, taxation for the wealthy is, like, you might end up casting a ballot for something that you don't, like, stand for. And then, like, that has very real consequences because, like, we see people, you know, being sick and dying, especially in a pandemic because they don't have access to healthcare. And, like, you're casting a ballot for someone and you don't really know what they stand for, like, you're inadvertently, you know, assisting that. And that's, I mean, I think that's very serious, so.
Absolutely. And one of my next questions is just kind of, you hit a little bit about the pandemic, and I kind of want to switch a little bit of gears, but I just want to ask, have the College Democrats done any events, you know, even though we are in a pandemic, have you guys done anything in the past few weeks, maybe towards this election, or have any events held? Have you guys been on the quad at all?
Yeah, we definitely been doing, we do, like, contactless lip drops. Like, we just walk up to doorknobs and just hang stuff on there. I'm sure that you've all seen them on there. But, yeah, like, we all, when we gather, like, we no more than, like, 10 or 15 people. Make sure we stay farther apart, like, 6 feet. We're all wearing masks, so, like, we are staying safe. But, like, it is good to, like, go out and see people still. And so that's where, like, these contactless lip drops are a really important activity that we've done in the last few weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. And just my last question, you kind of hit it earlier when you were talking about, you know, students being educated when casting their votes. It's just, why is it important to not only look at a presidential race? While this is a very important presidential election, why is it important to look at local races, anything local in your communities, whether it's in here in McLean or back at home? Why is it important to be educated on these local races and not just worrying about the presidential one?
I definitely think it's important to be involved in the local races around here because, like, students account for, I think, 40% of the population in Normal, and, I mean, we spend a lot of money in the town that generates a lot of tax revenue, and so, like, you know, when we see Uptown Normal, the development, but like, there's 4 hotels and no grocery stores, so, like, the needs of the students are not really being met by that, and, like, we're big contributors to the town, we're big contributors to this community, so, like, it's time that we start, you know, using our voice and, like, getting our representation that we deserve on the different town councils and stuff like that.
Absolutely. And these town councils and Bloomington councils, they all have meetings where everyone can either watch them live. I know before they used to be in person where people can come attend these. So it's important to really get involved in your local elections and think about things at a local level and not just things about things super nationally. But, yeah, those are all the questions I have for you. Do you have any things you'd like to say, Ethan?
Well, my usual plug here is to get out and vote, but I can't really do that anymore, so I guess get ready to vote. April 6th, I believe, is the municipal election, so get ready for that because those are the important races that we were just talking about.
Absolutely. It's definitely important to be involved in those, too. Those will be coming up in the spring. But thank you so much, Ethan, for taking time out of your busy day. I know today must have been crazy for you guys, but thank you again so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no, of course. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, have a good night. So you guys just heard from the College Democrat president, Ethan Kosberg, and, you know, as he mentioned, there are these very close-knit, tight races that are impacting our communities. And of those tight races, Anna Marie and Katrina actually covered a few during the Bird's Eye View.
Yeah, I actually covered, like I said earlier, the 105th district race between Kimberly Cummings and Dan Brady, incumbent Dan Brady. He is pretty far ahead right now, but it was interesting learning, you know, about both of their backgrounds and how they kind of got into politics and things like that. So we'll hear a little bit more about that in my piece.
If you look up another state race. Representative job description, it'll tell you it's someone who serves in a state-level legislative branch. However, the two candidates running for the 105th district will tell you it's much more than that. Democratic candidate Kimberly Cummings currently sits on the Normal Town Council, but her involvement and interest in politics began much earlier. Originally from Cleveland, Ohio, Cummings grew up knowing the importance of voting, after helping her grandmother in door knocks and fundraisers encouraging the community to vote. From Ohio, she moved to Arizona, where she worked on the Support Our Law Enforcement and Safe Neighborhoods Act, which worked toward illegalizing racial profiling for immigrants. She later moved to Bloomington Normal, where she got involved with the NAACP and served on the Children's Discovery Museum Board. Cummings says this is the right time for her to be elected because it's time for change.
We are at an impasse, and we have to change the way we think. We have to change the way we do things between social justice and social equity reform being at an all-time high of necessity. We're seeing with the pandemic and all of its, you know, multifaceted effects.
As someone who has been close to homelessness herself, Cummings says she understands the struggles of people in the community. Going up against a 20-year incumbent in this election, she said some of her friends thought she was a little crazy. Republican State Representative Dan Brady has been in office since 2001. He also was introduced to politics early in his life, with a father as a lawyer who ran for judge as well as the vice chair of the Republican Party of McLean County, and a grandfather who was at one time the Democratic county chairman of McLean County as well. One of Brady's top priorities for the district is budgeting, including the state's contingent response to COVID-19, as well as higher education. He would like to focus on unemployment and small business issues in regards to COVID-19. Brady continues to work on the AIM High program, which is a tuition grant program. He expands on what he would like to do to help costs of public higher education in Illinois.
Priority, of course, is the budget priorities of public education, and then creating a funding formula for higher education and creating performance-based funding would help institutions of higher education better meet their needs.
Brady says his efforts for leveling the tuition is to help encourage more students to choose Illinois. Because of the pandemic, Brady expressed how different campaigning has looked this year. Normally, he says he would go to sporting events, breakfasts, and have a chicken fry. This year, the chicken fry was able to happen, but as a drive-through. Even with the virtual events, he said he felt he did not get the networking and personal connections with people in the community. The election is on Tuesday, November 3rd. For WZND and Bird's Eye View, I'm Anna Marie Schutt.
So something I thought was really interesting talking with Kimberly Cummings was one big thing she's really pushing for is reviving Illinois. So she wants to make people excited about living here, especially in McLean County and Normal. And I think that's something really good to strive for, because this is a really nice community and we have a lot of good things for kids, for students, for just local people who live around here. But another close race that we watched and we looked at really closely was Katrina's.
Yeah, this race is the talk of the town. It's the 13th congressional one between Rodney Davis and Betsy Dirksen-Londrigan, and they actually tried to flip this seat last election. And I got to talk to these candidates a few times, and, you know, they're really pushing specific policies. And I think they campaigned here in Bloomington Normal quite a bit. And I believe they're pushing policies that are hard-hitting for college students. And one of those hard-hitting ones, it's climate change. I know when I talk to anybody, they'd say, climate change, climate change, climate change. That's what they're talking about. Mm-hmm. Betsy Dirksen-Londrigan, who is leading by 54.5% of the vote, says she wants to maintain full funding of the Natural Resources Conservation Service to promote conservation of land and water. And she explained to me that Davis voted yes to pull out of the Paris Accord, which she believes was a poor decision. Davis, on the other hand, is seen as the friend of agriculture here in McLean County. He passed two farm bills, and I went to Lexington Farm way back when Davis went there, and he supported this pennycress weed. It's a new research that they're trying to do, and they're supposed to cover all of the fields with it, and he serves on the two farm bill conference committees and has helped produce farm bills to promote further research kind of like that. So that's kind of where he stands on climate change. Mm-hmm. Another one we got on the topic of was criminal justice and social reform and mm-hmm. law enforcement reform. Rodney Davis had told me a story about how police officers went towards gunfire and so he could run away from gunfire this mm-hmm. time where he was in a park. And he wants to propose more bills and had proposed a bill regarding that. But Betsy Dirksen-Londrigan kind of took the approach of bringing it home and kind of talking to people and understanding where people come from. Mm-hmm. She said that she attended a lot of summer protests, especially the ones when George Floyd had passed mm-hmm. tragically, and she went to the protest herself to try and gauge where that is. Mm-hmm. And she said that it's very important in college campuses.
That's actually something I talked to Ms. Cummings about, too, and she was saying how she would like to see more mental health professionals kind of work with police. She said not that they would be the same job or, like, police officers would be, like, psychiatrists or anything like that, but just that they have, like, a good relationship so that they can work together for different situations to kind of assess certain times where you might not need you know, a police officer, but maybe someone with authority could be there, and then it'll just be a mental health professional handling the main situation.
Yeah, and Betsy Dirksen-Londrigan kind of touched on the mental aspect, but also the educational aspect. I'm going to kind of jump ahead here. The 88th Congressional District, House District, with Keith Sommer and Carla Bailey Smith, I had talked to her, and she had told me that pre-college students are taught inaccuracies in Black history. And she said if you address that and in the education, it won't grow and develop further into college life. So that's kind of interesting how she had brought that up.
Yeah.
Dan Brady on law enforcement reform. I went to a Back the Blue rally. He said that there needs to be reform. There's a few bad apples, and that he wants to reform the police and make sure that social justice is served.
Republican incumbent Rodney Davis and Democrat candidate Betsy Dirksen-Londrigan are fighting for the congressional seat in District 13. College students may have concerns about student loan debt. Davis passed a law as part of the CARE package. This will allow employers to treat student loan debt like they treat tuition reimbursement.
And frankly, remember that student loan bill that I just told you was signed into law? It was supported by President Trump. It was supported by his administration and many Democrats and Republicans.
Dirksen-Londrigan says she believes millionaires and billionaires need to pay their fair share, which can be achieved through the fair tax, which she supports. She says 97% of people in Illinois won't see a change in their taxes or they may be lowered, which she says will help college students stay ahead after graduation and will help the middle class.
You know, the gap between the haves and have-nots grow exponentially. And, you know, Congressman Davis was the face of the 2017 tax bill. And I disagree with that tax bill. Over 60% of the benefits went to the wealthiest 20%. It was a massive giveaway to corporations.
Davis says there shouldn't be a divide in this country because everyone should have the opportunity to achieve the American dream.
No matter when a politician says that this is only going to be paid for by the millionaires and billionaires, don't believe us. In the end, it's the millionaires and billionaires that can leave Illinois and then leave you with the tax burden for the spending.
Dirksen-Londrigan says voting for candidates that represent you is the best way to work on climate change and ideological division.
Do you like the world that we're living in right now? Do you like the way it's been constructed and built for you? Do you like what you're seeing on television? Do you like the way that our earth is being treated?
Davis says he sponsored a bill that is geared towards nationalizing law enforcement reform that specializes in social justice training.
I think defunding the police is the most ridiculous idea I've ever heard as a member of Congress. I owe my life to two courageous African-American police officers. They're my heroes, and they always will be.
Dirksen-Londrigan says she has participated in peaceful protests this past summer, and she wants to address systemic racism. She says she's been trying to listen to Black and brown communities to be ready on day one.
And as far as the college campuses go, you know, those are the places where students are learning how to live, you know, live together, work together. And I think, you know, recognizing the issues is the first step, and then working together to address them. And I'm committed to doing that.
The election is 9 days away, and early voting is available in the Bone Student Center from Monday through Friday, 10 to 5. For WZND and Bird's Eye View, I'm Katrina Peterson.
Yeah, and currently from our last update, we saw that Betsy Dirksen-Londrigan is leading by 54.5% of the votes. And that was from our BIV specialty show, Bird's Eye View. You can check out the entire podcast on WZND.com. Now we're going to take a quick break, I'm going to send it to Maritza.
We are going to take a quick break. Actually, don't go anywhere because we'll have more up-to-the-minute updates. You're still listening to 103.3 WZND, The Polling Party.
Months of anticipation have led to today. It's finally here, Election Day 2020. From the race for president down to the county board, WZND has you covered. Election night coverage starts now on 103.3 WZND, Bloomington Normal, Fused Radio.
Welcome back to the polling party. We are here to give you all the updates for the election. We currently have another update coming from our producer, Jack Rao. Jack, what do you have so far?
Thank you, Katrina. For the presidential race, CNN is reporting that Joe Biden is securing much of the northeastern United States. He has also jumped out to an early lead in Minnesota and Wisconsin, big states to win. Donald Trump is leading in many of the southern states with slim leads in Florida and Texas. In the Senate race, according to AP, longtime incumbent Democrat Dick Durbin has won re-election for the Senate. For the 13th congressional district, CNN reports that Betsy Dirksen-Londrigan is leading by 50.5% of the votes. For the 18th congressional district, CNN reports that Darren LaHood is leading by 65.8% of votes. For the Illinois 105th House District, Dan Brady is leading by 56.6% of votes. For the Illinois 88th House District, Keith Sommer is leading by 79.6% of votes. For the McLean County Coroner, Kathy Yoder is leading by 58.7% of votes. For McLean County Auditor, Michelle Anderson is leading by 49.5% of votes. In the circuit clerk race, Don Everhart will be retaining his seat. He ran unopposed as a Republican. And for the state's attorney race, Don Knapp will be retaining his seat. He ran unopposed as a Republican as well. And in the first district, Catherine Metzger, unopposed and incumbent Republican. William Friedrich, unincumbent Republican, 59.23% versus Jeff Bertrand. And the candidate George Wendt is running 64.2% against R.J. McCracken. And District 4, Adelita Cruz, Republican, is running 59.1% versus Ben Webb. John McIntyre of District 5 is running against Rachel Lund, only receiving 48.06%. Hannah Beer, Democrat of District 6, running 77.9% versus David Scarpelli. Jacob Beard, Republican of District 7, running 61.24% versus Val Lehman, Democrat. In District 8, Jordan Baker is running against Leah Klein, and Leah Klein is receiving 53.76% of her votes. District 9, Susan Schaefer, incumbent Republican, going at 63.59% versus Jackie Gunderson. And in District 10, Josh Barnett, unopposed and incumbent Republican.
Thank you so much, Jack, for that amazing update. And actually, we're coming up with another update from Gavin again, who is, as I said before, at the Republican Watch Party for the election. He is currently at the VFW, and I think Katrina actually has his update for us.
I'm here at the Republican Watch Party, and currently there's about 20, 30 people in the room, and well, the feeling around here seems to be anxious. Everyone here wants to know, you know, who won. And so far, it comes out that Rachel Lund has won in her district. But right now, we're just waiting for more results. But I'll keep you guys updated throughout the night. For WZND, I'm Gavin Broderick.
Thank you so much, Gavin, for that amazing update. You know, I love to see that we actually have someone going to a watch party, even during the pandemic. But later on, we will also be hearing from Nikita Richards, who will talk to us a little bit about what the McLean County Democrats are doing instead of a watch party, just because they had, you know, they had worries about the pandemic and, you know, different issues that may arise if they did have an organization. But make sure you stick around and tune into that later on.